Cause Jesus got a hold of my life and he won't let me go. Aren't you glad about that? Sometimes I remember how I used to be living in sin. I tried to act happy and free, but I wasn't within. Well, I fooled a lot of friends of mine. They thought I had some peace of mind, but I never had a thing until I opened up and let Jesus in. Jesus got into my heart, he got into my soul. Well, I used to be oh so sad, but now I'm just free and glad. Cause Jesus got a hold of my life and he won't let me go. Aren't you getting just a bit tired? Once again, aren't you getting just a bit tired? Aren't you getting just a bit tired of fooling around? They're trying to laugh your way through this life, but you're not getting ground. Why not try the Lord today? Just ask him in your heart to stay. Find Jesus' love to be the greatest thing that you've ever found. Oh, Jesus got a hold of my life and he won't let me go. Jesus got into my heart, he got into my soul. Well, I used to be oh so sad, but now I'm just free and glad. Jesus got a hold of my life and he won't let me go. Sing that chorus once again as Brother Terrence comes. Oh, Jesus got a hold of my life and he won't let me go. Jesus got into my heart, he got into my soul. Well, I used to be oh so sad, but now it's free.
Good afternoon. Let's hit one back out this afternoon. Remember the ones that are traveling. Still remember Tony's and the family where he lost his dad. Just continue to bless that family and just be with them. And I don't have any requests up here. I know we all have unspoken requests, though. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for letting us come out this afternoon, Lord. Just be with the ones that are traveling. We have mentioned. Just be with them and bless them. Be with Wade. Also give him strength, Lord. And also give us strength to listen to what's being said this afternoon. Lord, there was many unspoken requests. Whatever the needs are in those situations, Lord, you come down and bless them. Be with them, Lord. Be with us the rest of the service. Most of all, you forgive us of all of our sins. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Amen. It's just the first of the month and it is September. Ooh. But we have an anniversary today. Brother Kern and Sister Trudy's anniversary is today, so we're going to sing twice. We'll do it in E flat.
Happy anniversary to you, oh happy anniversary to you. May you feel Jesus near every day of the year. Oh happy anniversary to you, oh happy anniversary to you. Any best year you've ever had. Oh happy anniversary to you, oh happy anniversary to you. May you feel Jesus near every day of the year. Oh happy anniversary, oh happy anniversary. Any best year you've ever had.
Amen. Now we'll go over the birthday list. And like I always say, this is the month that God made the stars. Because there's a bunch of superstars in this church that was born in September. And here's the list. Brother Kern, Paul McFerrin, Terrence Dale, Charlotte Marlowe, Big Al, Mary Brewer, what she's looking in, and Cleta Smallwood. So we got to sing happy birthday to us now.
Oh, happy birthday to you. Oh, happy birthday to us. May you feel Jesus near every day of the year. Oh, happy birthday to you. Oh, happy birthday to you. Any best year you've ever had. Oh, happy birthday to you. Oh, happy birthday to you. May you feel Jesus near every day of the year. Oh, happy birthday. Oh, happy birthday. And the best year you ever had.
You can be seated.
Praise the Lord. Thank God for giving another month, another year of anniversaries and birthdays. Every year that goes by is just the grace of the Lord. He's not done with you.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Let's sing this song, Draw Me, Lord. The brothers in the back can bring this song up. Amen. Let's just worship Him. How many want Him to draw you more? Amen. You can't come to the Father unless He draws you, right? Draw me.
Draw me, draw me, Lord, and I'll come running after you. Draw me, draw me, Lord, and I'll come running after you.
Once again,
draw me. For you are
you alone I am complete. Just tell them one more time. Draw me. Oh, draw me. Draw me, Lord. And I'll come running after you. Again, sing it unto him now. Just draw me, Lord, and I'll come running after you. Draw me, Lord, and I'll come running after you.
Praise the Lord. Just give the Lord a clap of praise. Thank God for his drawing. Amen. Amen. For his pull. Thank God for that pull. Amen. We have Sister Anna and Sister Milka are going to sing a song for us. So if they could come up at this time. Praise the Lord Jesus.
God bless you. I'm sure you know the song. There's no one like Jesus, which is true.
There's no one like Jesus. There's no one like him. I've walked and over. I've turned and turned all over. I've searched and searched all over. There's no one like him. Hakuna wakaita sa Yesu. Hakuna wakaita sa Yesu. Hakuna wakaita sa Yesu. Haku china. Namanya kwese da tenderera kwese da taga. Kwese, haku china. Hakuna Mungu kama wewe. Hakuna Mungu kama wewe. Hakuna Mungu kama wewe. Hakuna hata kuwepo. Nimetembea kote, nimezunguka kote, nimetafuta kote, hakuna hata kuwepo. There's no one like Jesus. There's no one like him. There's no one like Jesus. There's no one like him. I've walked all over,
There's no one, there's no one like Jesus. There's no one, there's no one like Him. Oh, there's no one, there's no one like Jesus. There's no one, there's no one like Him. And walked all over, over. I turned and turned all over, over. I've searched all over, over. 'Cause there's no one like Him. One more time, there's no one like Jesus. There's no one like Jesus. There's no one like Him. Oh, there's no one like Jesus. There's no one like Him. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a clap of praise. Thank God for our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Sister Milka. Thank you, Sister Anna. If you didn't know that they were singing in Shona, and that language is from where? That's Zimbabwe, and then in Swahili as well. So, and that's from Kenya. So, thank God. I told him, I said, well, if I had it in Spanish, I'd sing it in Spanish too. Yeah, so, praise the Lord. Thank God. Amen. We can all praise the Lord, you know, in every language. God's going to have somebody to worship Him. Amen. Praise God. Brother Mark, if you want to help us take a prayer. Amen. Praise the Lord. As he passed that around, let's just sing that. Let's just sing at the cross, at the cross. Amen. Where I first saw the light. Amen. At last ended my Savior bleed, and did my sovereign die? Would He devote that sacred head for such a worm as I? Oh, at the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Was it for crimes that I have done, He groaned upon the tree? Amazing pity, grace unknown, and love beyond degree. Well, at the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burdens of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Well, might the Son, well, might the Son in darkness hide and shut His glories in, when Christ the mighty Maker died, ere man the creature sin. Well, at the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burdens of my heart He rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. But drops of grief can ne'er repay
the debt of love I owe. Here, Lord, I give myself away. 'Tis all that I can do. Well, at the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart He rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. At the cross, let's stand to our feet. First saw the light, and the burdens of my heart He rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day.
Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. Might be old, but it's still true. You have to go through the cross. Amen. Everyone, praise the Lord. How many ready for the word? So we're going to have Brother Wade sing, come up and give us what the Lord's given to him. Amen. So let's sing Open the Eyes of My Heart.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. Yes, I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, 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 high and lifted. Your power and love as we sing, holy, 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 our holy, 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 I want to sing.
Amen. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. Rather be here than anywhere else. If you don't feel comfortable here, you're sure not going to feel comfortable over there. Amen. So feel comfortable. Make yourself at home. And Lord bless you. Good to be back home. We were just with another part of the family in Kentucky. So they send their greetings to tell you hello. God bless you. We're going to be back up there at the end of the month. So... just keep us in your prayers. Also, make a few announcements. Brother Matthew Bray will be here next Sunday to preach for us both services. But now on Saturday, most of you got the email that Brother Bob sent out. But I just kind of want to explain a little bit about what we're doing. We're doing the youth. We're doing a youth Bible study. But now this Saturday, what we're going to do is start at 3:30, and then I'm going to speak for about maybe 15 or 20 minutes before we get started, and then have Bible study until we have regular Bible study at 6 o'clock anyway. So that will be the first Saturday. Now, today's the first Sunday, but what we're going to do is starting the second go-round, which will be every other month, we will have Youth Sunday attached to whenever we have Bible study on Saturday. That Sunday will be Youth Sunday. Everybody understand that? Not the third Sunday anymore. the Sunday after, and doesn't matter if Bible study has to be the first Saturday, so the Sunday would probably be the first Sunday, but sometimes maybe that doesn't work out that way. But the Sunday after we have Bible study on Saturday will be Youth Sunday. Everybody got that? Say amen. All right? The Youth Sunday will be the weekend we have Bible study, which will be the first Saturday. All right? So we invite you all to come. Now, we have Bible study, like I said, at 6 o'clock, but we're going to start at 3:30 for the youth. We will be sectioning them off into age groups, because we're going to be doing some age-appropriate things. Like I said, we're not going to really get into a lot of doctrine. You get the doctrine here. We're going to answer life questions, questions the kids have, the young adults. And some of the young ones have questions that we can answer away from the grown-ups. So I want the kids to realize one thing. We didn't start from baby and then get to 50. We went through our little teenage years and our little kid years. Every person in this building was born the same way, as a baby. So don't think we, sometimes maybe as we get older, we get kind of away from the youth coming up, but still, you got to go back and remember how you were when you grew up. You had the same demons. It was the same problems. We're fighting, you know, even in the message, you fight depression and bullying and all these different things and peer pressure. That was one of the worst ones, you know. You wanted to be, it's like Deanna told me, second day of school, she came home with us and I said, Deanna, do you enjoy school? She said, yeah, it's fine, all but one thing. I said, what? She said, there's nobody popular in my homeroom. I said, well, why don't you be the popular person in your homeroom? Why don't you do that? Why don't you be, if you say, well, there's nobody popular in my homeroom. I said, what do you mean nobody's popular? Well, nobody knows anybody. I said, well, you know what? There was a time nobody knew anybody. I didn't know anybody. Your mama didn't know anybody. Your nana didn't know anybody. Your grandma didn't know it. There's all the time when we don't. So make friends. And so we're going to be starting maybe a little study on that. We are not so old that we can't remember back to our youth. So we'll be able to do that. So remember that. Keep us in your prayers. If you can't come, pray for us. All right, that will be 3:30 here. Next Saturday, we will have pizza and chicken wings and something to drink. So, Lord bless you. Now, that's not you 6 o'clock people. No. Popcorn and water. For the rest of you. But just come expecting God to help us. I mean, we've never had a Bible study that somebody didn't get helped. For those of you that don't come, you don't know that. So, but you should. You should come. Everybody should come and experience it at least one time. But we're going to be doing this for the kids, solely for the kids, separate from the adults. And we will be answering questions. And kids, please, open up, ask questions. Because you know what? We went through, like I said, we went through the same thing you went through. We were children at one time, and some of you did, some of you didn't. I grew up in the message. I grew up, you know, we were 67, 68 coming into the message, and so I was an 8-year-old boy. What about an 8-year-old boy, though, John Jr.? An 8-year-old boy, and here I am, and here everybody's in 1977. Well, I wasn't even going to get out of high school. Yeah. The fear that was put in our heart, Frieda was there, too. The fear that was put in us of 1977, we weren't, I said, man, I'll be able to just drive 1 year. See, I mean, you know, you're a 16-year-old kid, you go, man, I'm only going to get to drive 1 year. Well, guess what? I'm a grandpa now. In a few years, if the Lord tarries, I'll have a grandbaby that wants to start driving. So, you know, you know what? It's like, Brother Luis said, and I've read it not too long ago, where Brother Brown said, if you're going to plant tomato potatoes and know that God's coming tomorrow, go ahead and plant potatoes. Amen. Or if you're going to get married, you know, make your plans. If God changes them, they must be better. All right? You make your plans, but if God changes them, that must be a better plan if God changes them. So just remember that. So good to be here today. Remember Brother Matthew coming in? They'll be here with us this weekend. They're coming in Thursday. He will be have his kids, and they will be here to participate in the first youth Bible study. So that's great, too. Brother Bob will be preaching Wednesday night. Also, remember, in two Sundays from now, I'll be at Brother Tim Hume's preaching for him on Sunday. So just keep those in your prayers. Let's turn to Daniel 9. We're going to get started on the 70 weeks of Daniel, but this is going to be the history lesson, so it may be kind of boring. We're going to just read scripture. We're not going to read any quotes. I don't think I even have one on here. I may make a few quotes, but we will, you know, when you, I was telling them downstairs, somebody we were talking about, when you say Daniel 70 weeks, what's the first thing you think of? Dates. Years. Half years. Three and a half. Is it three and a half or seven? Is it? That's not Daniel 70 weeks. Daniel 70 weeks is the redemption of Israel.
Amen.
The redemption of Israel. But we were interjected in into that 70 weeks of Daniel. There was a gap that the Gentiles had to come in. So it is important to me and you. But we're going to go through the history and look at it in a Jewish perspective. So I want you to just, let's all act Jewish today. Okay. Ever how that is. I don't know how that is, but maybe we'll figure that out. Sister Alicia, quit laughing. We'll figure it out. I promise. We'll figure it out. But we're going to start with the history, part one, and we're going to start with Daniel 9. So let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you today for this opportunity that we have to come here and serve you, to stand before the greatest people on the face of the earth. As Brother Dale said this morning, who would want to be president of the United States or even king of the world? We have the king of the world as our father. We have the king of the world not sitting somewhere on a throne where we can't get to him. He is in the throne of our heart. The one Lord that can take that hurricane and turn it and stop it in an instant, just say, peace be still. Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you that you have given us an opportunity that we can learn about you and that you have brought us a Bible with all the prophets, that some of them were killed and as Isaiah was torn asunder and many were killed because of what they said. Father, you've given us an opportunity to come to this end time to see what they were looking and what they were talking about. They were looking to this end time, to the latter day where all these things are going to culminate into a rapture of a church and redemption of the earth. Father, forgive us of our sins and our many mistakes, Lord. Today being communion day, Lord, just cleanse our heart, cleanse our mind, and be with us, Lord, as we continue in this series, that it will be done for your honor and glory and not for our own, Father. You be the one that does the speaking. You be the one that does the hearing. Be the active participant in this service. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going to read Daniel 9, but we're going to start with verse 21. And for those of you that's got the quotes, you're going to be easy. But I want the rest of you, if you got a Bible, flip through the Bible, because I'm going to go back to my Bible. You see, I got my cut and paste over here. But I've written notes in my Bible, so I've got notes that I'm going to speak on that's already written in my Bible. So I'm going to use that, and you can follow along in this or follow along here. Now, here's Daniel. Now, Daniel is a Jew. Daniel is a Jew. He's asking God for something. Yea, whilst I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning. Now remember, this is a continuation of visions.
Right.
The book of Daniel is the book of revelation to the Jews.
Right. Amen.
Everybody got that? Say amen.
Amen.
The book of Daniel, if you want to know what happens to the Jewish world, read Daniel, just as we read Revelations, and now Revelations ties the Gentiles in, but Daniel is to Daniel and his people and the city. Alright, the city of Jerusalem, which means a lot here. So watch. And Gabriel is always what? He's the announcing angel. He comes in and announces what's gonna happen. Alright? And he comes to the, who'd he come to? Mary. He come to all these different ones. Alright, is everybody okay with that? Whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. Why has it got to be the evening time?
Right.
And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. You notice that didn't say confusion. Okay. At the beginning of thy supplications, the commandment came forth, and I am come to show thee. For thou art greatly beloved. Therefore understand the matter and consider the vision. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city. Keep that in mind. Circle that in your book. Circle that in your Bible. Daniel 70 weeks is to Daniel's people and a particular place. A city. I'm just reading the Bible. Prove it by the Bible first. Thy 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city. To do 6 things, to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Those are 6 things, just like 6 seals finishes redemption. These 6, this sixfold purpose finishes as redemption of Israel. All right. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again in the wall even in troublous times. See, there's got a wall be built. There's got a city be built and streets be built in this Daniel 70 weeks. Everybody got that? And after 62 weeks, forget about the dates today. We're going back to the history. Why is Daniel praying? I know I got you standing, but you won't sleep. Maybe we can do that a lot. Just be able to hang on to yourself when you start leaning on your neighbor. Everybody needs a Michael standing beside of them. So you can... Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and rebuild Jerusalem to the Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks, 62 weeks. Streets shall be built and walled even in troublous times. So don't worry about the dates. We're just going back to the history. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince that shall come, now who is that? That's Titus, shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and to the end of the war, desolations are determined. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease, and for the overspreading of abomination, he shall make it desolate even unto the consummation, all the way to the consummation, and that determined shall be poured out upon the desolate. So forget the numbers. Sit down in your seats. Forget the numbers. You may be seated. Daniel is in captivity, and he's getting ready to come out of captivity. Israel was put into captivity for a purpose. We're going to read that purpose right now in just a minute. But let's go to Daniel 9:2. If you would, brothers, just keep that thing up on the screen because we're just going to keep reading the scriptures one right after the other and make comments. Now, Daniel 9:2, before all this comes together, says, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books. Now, you and I, the same way. If we didn't have the 1,100 and something sermons, we wouldn't be standing here today. But we have those 1,100 and something sermons that God sent a little prophet to give us, so we understand by books. When we come to church, we understand by books. All right. When we come to church, we read scripture. So we understand by books. So listen, Daniel did not have a Bible, but he had the scrolls of Jeremiah. That was a prophet before him. So we're going to read that in just a minute. But now Daniel 9:2. I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. Everybody got that? Say amen. Amen. All right, 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. So now let's go to Jeremiah 1. We've read this many times before, but Jeremiah is the whole foundation of this Daniel 70 weeks, because what did Daniel do? Daniel read what Jeremiah said. Daniel read what God said to Jeremiah, and through Jeremiah, being a major prophet, Daniel looked back at the previous prophet. Isn't what Brother Brown said? He said the prophet now looks back to the previous prophet, because we're going to read something here in just a few minutes where another prophet interjects himself into the scene, and we'll see what happens. All right, Jeremiah 1 verse 5 says, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Then said I, ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. Kind of strange, we're going to talk to the children next week. But the Lord said unto me, say not, I am a child. For thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Pretty good commission, right? Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. So whatever Jeremiah is going to say, it's going to be what God tells him to say. He's going to say it right through Jeremiah, and that's what a prophet's supposed to do. Not interject his own thought, but say what God said. All right? That's why when we go get to the end of this Daniel 70 weeks, remember one thing. Thank you, Brother George Quinn. Scripture cannot be broken.
Right.
Amen? So Daniel 70 weeks, whatever we get into, I don't care what quote you get from whoever you get it from. If it doesn't compare with this Bible, it's wrong. This Bible is the standard. So Brother Branham, we know one thing for sure. He did not come to change the Bible. He came to magnify it, like Jesus came to magnify the law. Brother Brown came to magnify the Bible so that we can see the, what? We can see the in between the lines. There was something written that man had never seen before. So as we go through Daniel 70 weeks, if you bring me a quote that seems contrary to the Bible, you're wrong. The Bible's right. The Bible is correct. Brother Brown said, faith's final resting place is in the Word of God. So we're going to put it all in the Word of God. That's why we're going to be a little bit slow, and we're going to go right to the foundation to Jeremiah. See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out, pull down, to destroy, and throw down. Boy, he had a good job, didn't he? How'd you like to have been standing there and God said, that's what you're fixing to do? Man, to root out, to pull down, to destroy, and to throw down, to build and to plant. So he didn't just want him to tear everything down. The last two I like, to build and to plant. Listen, God's not going to destroy something without a purpose to build it back. All right, because what is redemption? Redemption is not replacement. Redemption is bringing back that had went down. He's going to bring it back up. Everybody okay with that? Say amen. Now let's go to Jeremiah 3. Verse 1, if you want to follow me in your scriptures, turn to Jeremiah 3, and then we're going to Jeremiah 4. We're just going to continue through the man's life. Now watch. Israel got in trouble. Israel became and was the original wife of Jehovah.
Right.
Everybody got that? Say amen.
Amen.
That was the original wife. He said, I'm married to you.
Right.
All right, so it's Bible. Whatever you think, you're wrong. Okay? He married Israel. But now look, now what's Jeremiah telling them in verse 1? He says, they say if a man put away his wife and she go from him and become another man's, shall he return unto her again? Shall not that land be greatly polluted? But thou hast played the harlot with many lovers, yet return again to me, saith the Lord. Now look, he's just said, don't take her back. But he said, yet return again to me, saith the Lord. Lift up thine eyes unto the high places and see where thou hast not been lying with or laid with. In the ways thou hast thou set for them. Now listen. As the Arabians in the wilderness, and thou hast polluted the land with thy whoredoms and with thy wickedness. Therefore the showers have been withholden, and there hath been no latter rain, and thou hast a whore's forehead. Thou refusest to be ashamed. Now he's talking to Israel through Jeremiah. Remember, Jeremiah's commission was to go to the nation and tell them this is what God has to say about them. Everybody all right with that? All right. Therefore the showers have been withholden. Wilt thou not from this time cry unto me, my father, thou art the God of my youth? Verse 5. Will he reserve his anger forever? Will he keep it to the end? Behold, thou hast spoken and done evil things as thou couldest. He's talking to Israel. The Lord said also unto me in the days of Josiah the king, hast thou seen that which backsliding Israel hath done? So we know Israel had a position, as Brother Dale was talking about this morning. To backslide, you got to be right here to slide back. You can't be down here and be backslid. You got to be here and backslide. Backsliding Israel hath done. She has gone up upon every high mountain under every green tree, and there hath played the harlot. Now, what did they do? Not naturally, they didn't, but spiritually, they played the harlot. They went after Moloch and all these different gods that God kept telling them, do not, do not, do not. Well, Israel just kept going. Well, then you know what? God's long-suffering, and he's made grace for everybody, but there's a time when God said, I told you not to do that. Right. And I'm going to put you away. So what he does, he gives them a writing of divorcement. I'm going to read this to you in just a minute. The Lord said unto me in the days of Josiah, hast thou seen that which backsliding Israel hath done? She has gone up on every high mountain and under every green tree and hath played the harlot. And I said, after she had done all these things, turn thou unto me. But she returned not. God's given them time to come back, given them grace to come back. And her treacherous sister Judah saw it. And I saw when for all the causes whereby backsliding Israel committed adultery, I had put her away and given her a bill of divorcement or divorce. Everybody got that? Now this is elementary, but still this is why there's 70 weeks of Daniel. Because they're fixing to go into captivity, and I'll tell you why in just for a few minutes, okay? Yet her treacherous sister Judah feared not, but went and played the harlot also. And it came to pass through the lightness of her whoredom that she defiled the land and committed adultery with stones and with stocks. In other words, idols and things that were away from God. Right. Everybody got that? Right. All right. This may be a little boring for some, but you know what? If you don't get the foundation right, you can't build a house. Amen. All right. And it came to pass through the lightness of her whoredom that she defiled the land and committed adultery with stones and with stocks. So what happened was, God put her away and gave her a writing of divorcement. He divorced Israel. So now he can't take her back as wife. Right. Or he would break Jeremiah 3 verse 1. But he can restore her back to a position. He can bring her in as servants or as remnant. Or as looking at the 144,000. But there's a lot of these people that are going to be saved, but there's a lot of them that are not. Okay, so now let's go to Jeremiah 3, verse 14. Turn, O backsliding children, saith the Lord, for I am married unto you, and I will take you one of a city and two of a family, and I will bring you to Zion. So he's bringing them to a place. And I will give you pastors. That's not pastors like out in a pasture. That's pastors. That's preachers. I will give you preachers, pastors, according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. Now look, he sent them prophets and preachers, and they turned them all down. They killed them. They got rid of them. They didn't want them anymore. Even Jeremiah, if you'll keep reading in the book of Jeremiah, they tried to kill Jeremiah. Right. Because of what he said, and it came completely to pass. Right. But they were still going to kill him anyway, because they didn't, you know what? They didn't like what he said, and that's the same way with y'all. Anybody, all of us. We don't like, it's like I was telling them this morning. You know what sin is? Sin's what you don't like. Think about it. Oh, I don't do none of that social media stuff, but now I'll read a magazine and I'll read a newspaper. Same thing. Okay, so just be careful what you're doing. I like to hunt. Me and Bob don't like to hunt, so I like to hunt. So if he don't hunt, he's a sinner. Bob says, well, you go out and kill animals, you're a sinner. So see, you go back and forth. Whatever sin is unbelief in the Word of God, not our little quips and quotes that we try to make people, you know, come to our side. You understand what I'm saying? Jeremiah 3, verse 20. Surely as a wife treacherously departeth from her husband, so have ye dealt treacherously with me, O house of Israel, saith the Lord. A voice was heard upon the high places, weeping and supplication of the children of Israel. For they have perverted their way, and they have forgotten the Lord their God. Return, ye backsliding children, and I will heal your backsliding. Right. Behold, we come unto thee, for thou art the Lord our God. He's wanting them to come back, but they're not going to. Yeah. Jeremiah 4, verse 4. Circumcise yourself to the Lord and take away the foreskin of your heart, ye men of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem, lest my fury come forth like fire and burn that none can quench it because of the evil of your doings. Declare ye in Judah and publish in Jerusalem and say, blow ye the trumpet in the land. Cry, gather together and say, assemble yourself and let us go into the defense cities. Set up the standard toward Zion. He's trying to get them back. He's trying to get them to see their evil ways and to repent. Retire, stay not, for I will bring evil from the north and a great destruction. Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein. And you shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. Wow. A group of people telling God what to do and what not they're going to do. All right. You see why they're fixing to get in trouble. Because God's fixing to come to a day. He said, all right, you're going into captivity. I'll give you all this. Same way with all of us. He's give us all this time to get ready. Also, I set watchmen over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken. We'll come to church when we want to. Therefore, hear ye nations and know, O congregation, what is among you, among them. Hear, O earth, and behold, I will bring evil upon this people, even the fruit of their thoughts, because they have not hearkened unto my words nor my law, but rejected it. To what purpose cometh there to me incense from Sheba and the sweet cane from a far country? Your burnt offerings are not acceptable, nor your sacrifices sweet unto me. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will lay stumbling blocks before this people, and the fathers and the sons together shall fall upon them, and the neighbor and his friend shall perish. Now, if you continue reading Jeremiah, when this dispersal happens, they literally are almost eradicated. Right. There's just a small remnant left over because they're going to die for what they're doing. Thus saith the Lord, behold, a people cometh from the north country, and a great nation shall be raised from the sides of the earth. They shall lay hold on bow and spear. They are cruel. They have no mercy. Their voice roareth like the sea, and they ride upon horses, set in array as men for war against thee, O daughter of Zion. We have heard the fame thereof, our hands wax feeble. Anguish hath taken hold of us, and pain as a woman in travail. Not looking too good for them. Isaiah 9, verse 13. And the Lord saith, because they have forsaken my law, which I set before them, and not obeyed my voice, neither walked therein, but have walked after the imagination of their own heart, and after Balaam, which their fathers taught them. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will feed them, even this people, with wormwood and give them water of gall to drink. Wow. I will scatter. Now, here he's talking now. He's going to start really honing in on what he's going to do. I will scatter them also among the heathen. Now, in the first dispersal, that's what happened. In the second dispersal, that's what happened. In AD 70, when Titus destroyed the city, whatever was left and whatever fled, even the Christians, they went into another country. This is boring the fool out of all of you, right? You better use this as an example for your life. And listen to what God's telling you. And if you don't do what he says, he's fixing to make your land dry. But you know, when you see the dispersal in AD 70, all during the church ages, Israel was not a nation. That's why Brother Branham was so excited when he saw Israel in the 40s come back in. Why? Because that second dispersal, there's not another one. This one is a collecting of the Jews. He's going to send that 200,000 demons to drive Israel back to their homeland, because God will not talk to Israel unless they're in their homeland.
Right.
All right? I will scatter them also among the heathen. See, that's what they had done, even with what Hitler. See, It was definitely the tender hand of Jehovah fulfilling Scripture. When Hitler would go out to Switzerland and all these different places in Poland, he would find these Jews. And to persecute them, he would put them in the concentration camps. Well, then after they were liberated, they went into Israel. It was the hand of God doing all that. Because he can't deal with Israel unless they're in their homeland and their nation. All right? I will scatter them also among the heathen, whom neither they nor their fathers have known. They're going to a place they didn't know anything about. And I will send a sword after them till I have consumed them. Jeremiah 12, verse 10. Many pastors have destroyed my vineyard. In other words, there's been a lot of false prophet and false teaching going on. They have trodden my portion underfoot. They have made my pleasant portion a desolate wilderness. They have made it desolate, and being desolate, it mourneth unto me. The whole land. Now look, the whole land. We're not just talking about human beings called Israel, Jews. We're talking about their property also. Because remember, I said Daniel and the city. If God doesn't deal with the Jews except in the homeland, he must think a lot of Israel in that little place, Brother Brown said, called Palestine. Because remember, it took a prophet of God to tell us that right where Abraham was taking communion with Melchizedek is where the new city is going to push up. I mean, man, what a great thing. That's what we're coming back to. Because no man layeth it to heart. The spoilers are come upon all high places through the wilderness, for the sword of the Lord shall devour from the one end of the land even to the other end of the land. No flesh shall have peace. It's what you do when you sin. They have sown wheat, but shall reap thorns. They have put themselves in pain, but shall not profit. They shall be ashamed of their revenues because of the fierce anger of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord against all mine evil neighbors that touch the inheritance which I have caused my people Israel to inherit. Behold, I will pluck them out of their land and pluck out the house of Judah from among them. Because you know what's going to happen. God's not going to let the world get by with it. Because when Israel comes back into the homeland like now, and when we go to that, when they go over there and the two witnesses go to deal with Israel, the whole world's going to know it. The whole world's going to be condemned because we, doesn't matter about America, but the whole, everybody wants to kill that little place called Israel. Everybody wants to kill the Jews. I mean, my, come on, but you know what? They're God's people. He can't forget them. Not going to forget them. He may have divorced them and put them away, but he's not going to forget them. And it shall come to pass, after that I have plucked them out, I will return and have compassion on them. What? Bringing the people out, and will bring them again, every man to his heritage, and every man to his land. They have a place, a land that they're going to go to. Jeremiah 16, verse 11. Then shalt thou say unto them, because your fathers have forsaken me, saith the Lord, and have walked after other gods, and have served them, and have worshipped them, and have forsaken me, and have not kept my law. And ye have done worse than your fathers. For behold, you walk every one after the imagination of his evil heart, that they may not hearken unto me. Therefore will I cast you out of this land. I'm going to tell you why in just a minute, or God's going to tell you why in just a minute. Into a land that you know not. Dispersed. Neither ye nor your fathers, and there shall ye serve other gods day and night, where I will not show you favor. Right. You know, after AD 70, the Jews just disappeared. Yeah. You didn't hear of a nation. You didn't hear of a people. All you heard was just a few scatterings of people up until now. When what? The whole world's attention, when Eichmann and Hitler started killing the Jews, the whole world turned their attention to the Jews. All right? There wasn't much attention to them according to this. Because you know what? They were dispersed in a land they didn't even know anything about. Therefore I will cast you out of this land into a land that you know not, neither ye nor your fathers, and there shall you serve other gods day and night, where I will not show you favor. Therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that it shall no more be said, the Lord liveth, that brought up the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. Right. But the Lord liveth, that brought up the children out of Israel from the land of the north and from all the lands whither he hath driven them, and I will bring them again into their land that I give unto their fathers. He's not talking about that far in the future. He's talking about that 70 weeks, because when the 70 weeks is over, the physical 70 weeks that we're going to talk about was over, Israel came back in and built their temple, built their walls, and started doing their service again. Everybody okay with that? All right. I'm telling you, this is just a history, but you got to see the history to see about the dates and the times and the seasons and all the things that we're going to talk about. We didn't go back this far the last time we did it, but I think the Lord just kind of directed us to go back that way. Jeremiah 23, verse 1 through 6. Woe be unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith the Lord. Everybody got that? Therefore, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, against the pastors that feed my people, you have scattered my flock and driven them away and have not visited them. Behold, I will visit upon you the evil of your doings, saith the Lord. And I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all countries, whether I have driven them, and will bring them again to their folds, and they shall be fruitful and increase. And I will set up shepherds over them, which shall feed them, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, neither shall they be lacking, saith the Lord. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch. A king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. In his days Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is his name whereby he shall be called, the Lord our righteousness. You know, that's one of the compound names of Jehovah. That is Jehovah Tiskanu. All right, the Lord our righteousness. All right, Jeremiah 23, verse 20. The anger of the Lord shall not return until he have executed, until he have performed the thoughts of his heart. In the latter days ye shall consider it perfectly. Now, we now live in the latter days. And we're supposed to consider it perfectly. We're supposed to look back in the history and see what went on. We can type all this in our life. There's a lot of times we did the same things that Israel's done. All right, but there is a physical Israel that did this in the first dispersion, and God let them go 70 years in captivity before he brought them out with a mighty hand. All right, Jeremiah 24, verse 6, for I will set mine eyes upon them for good, and I will bring them again to this land, and I will build them and not pull them down, and I will plant them and not pluck them up, and I will give them an heart to know me, that I am the Lord, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God. So see, there's a way to get back to God. But I'm telling you, you talk about grace.
Right.
Now the Gentiles, we got grace, but that right there, what they did to God and him still telling them, regardless, I'm going to bring you back. And you're coming back to this land. I will give them a heart to know me, that I am the Lord, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God, for they shall return unto me with their whole heart. Wow, what a bringing back of a group of people that hated him.
Right.
Most of them still hate him.
Right.
Jeremiah 25, verse 1. Now here we're going to see, it's going to be a pretty good reading, but this is going to be what God is saying through Jeremiah. The word that came to Jeremiah concerning all the people of Judah in the fourth year of Joachim, Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, that was the first year of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, the which Jeremiah the prophet spake unto all the people of Judah and to all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, from the 13th year of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah, even until this day, that is the 23rd year, the word of the Lord hath come unto me, and I have spoken unto you, rising early and speaking, but you have not hearkened. And the Lord hath sent unto you all his servants the prophets, rising early and sending them, but ye have not hearkened, nor inclined your ear to hear. They said, turn ye again now every one from his evil way and from the evil of your doings, and dwell in the land that the Lord hath given unto you and to your fathers forever and ever. And go not after other gods to serve them and worship them, and provoke me not to anger with the works of your hand. and I will do you no hurt.
Right.
Yet you have not hearkened unto me, saith the Lord,
right,
that you might provoke me to anger with the works of your hand to your own hurt. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, because you have not heard my words, behold, I will send and take all the families of the north, saith the Lord, and Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, my servant, and will bring them against this land and against the inhabitants thereof and against all these nations round about, and will utterly destroy them and make them an astonishment and a hissing and a perpetual desolation. Moreover, I will take from them the voice of mirth and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride, the sound of the millstones and the light of the candle. And this whole land shall be desolate and an astonishment. And these nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years. Now that's the first speaking of 70 years of captivity that the Israelites are fixing to go. He's going to send Nebuchadnezzar, and that they're going to destroy the city and they're going to disperse the people. But what happens is, if you'll remember, the poorest of poor get to stay there. There's a whole thought to that, but we're not dealing with that. But they didn't kick everybody out, but the poor people got to stay. And this whole land shall be a desolation and astonishment. The nation shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years. Now watch. Now this is Jeremiah speaking to the land of Israel, to the people of Israel. And it shall come to pass when 70 years are accomplished that I will punish the king of Babylon. So he's going to bring them out with a mighty hand. He's going to bring them out and destroy the person and the nation that put them under. Watch. And that nation, saith the Lord, for their iniquity in the land of the Chaldeans, and will make it perpetual desolation. And I will bring upon that land all my words which I have pronounced against it, even all that is written in this book which Jeremiah hath prophesied against all the nations. For many nations and great kings shall serve themselves of them also, and I will recompense them according to their deeds and according to the works of their own hands. Now listen, you just heard exactly the words that Daniel read while he was praying that day when Gabriel came to visit him. He was reading the scrolls of Jeremiah. This is exactly what Daniel heard coming from Jeremiah, because the prophet of God said that Daniel looked back to the book of Jeremiah. The Bible says he looked back, he was what? He knew by books. That 70 years they were going into captivity. Now what happened was, now they were only 2 years. They had been there 68 years. There was only 2 years left.
Right.
So Daniel said, hey, I want to know when we come out of this thing, what's going to happen?
Okay.
All right? Is everybody all right with that?
Amen.
But I want you to watch something real close. Now remember, listen to me for a minute. Jeremiah, this is pre-70 years. This is going into 70 years. All right? Jeremiah goes in for just a little while and then he dies. And Daniel is born in the captivity, and then he's at 68 years or more old, getting ready to go out. So whatever this is saying, because I'm going to read you, there was another prophet comes on the scene while Jeremiah is telling the people, you're going to be in captivity, thus saith the Lord, you're going to be in captivity for 70 years because of what you did. Right? Major prophet, prophesied to the people, but watch. Let's go to Jeremiah 28, verse 10. Then Hananiah the prophet, see how close this is. I want you to watch this whole scenario. Watch how it plays out. And think about the things that goes on in this day and time. All right, shake yourself. Then Hananiah the prophet took the yoke, because what happened was, Jeremiah put a yoke on his neck and said they would be yoked or in bondage for 70 years. If you'll read your scripture before that, Jeremiah puts on a yoke, a wooden yoke, and walks through and says, thus saith the Lord, we'll be there in captivity, in bondage for 70 years. So another prophet walks in the door, and he takes the yoke off of Jeremiah's neck, and he breaks it. He's a little bit ill. Because Hananiah, watch what he said. And Hananiah spake in the presence of all the people, saying, thus saith the Lord. Now look, that's a capital L-O-R-D. He's prophesying under thus saith the Lord. That's what it says right here. Even so will I break the yoke of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, from the neck of all nations within the space of 2 years. Anybody home? Maybe y'all ought to set that on like buzz and put it under your... Oh, never mind. May I have some shouting going on? Amen. I will break the yoke from the neck of all nations within the space of 2 years. Now here's Jeremiah standing here prophesying with the yoke on his, in the congregation. He's in church and he's prophesying that God said you're going to be in captivity for 70 years. Now here walks a visiting preacher in. And he says, thus saith the Lord, you're going out in 2 years. We're only going to be in here 2 years. Man, don't that make everybody feel good? I mean, that other guy said 70 years. Most of y'all going to be dead by then. But Hananiah walks in and says, 2 years and we're out of here. But Jeremiah showed a little wisdom and he just walked off. The prophet Jeremiah went his way. Then the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah the prophet, after that Hananiah the prophet had broken the yoke from off the neck of the prophet Jeremiah, saying, go and tell Hananiah, saying, thus saith the Lord, thou hast broken the yoke of wood, but thou shalt make for them yokes of iron. In other words, now that 70 years is going to be worse. They're going to have to work with plows and not wood. They're going to work with metal. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, I have put a yoke of iron upon the neck of all these nations, that they may serve Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and they shall serve him. And I have given him the beast of the field also. Then said the prophet Jeremiah to Hananiah the prophet, hear now, Hananiah, the Lord hath not sent thee. Oh, my Lord, that visiting preacher is getting ready to fight him. Behold, I will cast... No, wait a minute. Hear ye, Hananiah, the Lord hath not sent thee, but thou makest this people to trust in a lie. That's what false doctrine will do for you. Because Hananiah, saying thus saith the Lord, it was him. It was him, because you know what? That wasn't from God. He thought it was. But God's already told by a major prophet. Remember, what does one prophet do? He looks back to the previous prophet. If Hananiah, which was a prophet, if he were to look back and said, that's exactly right, Jeremiah, I agree with you, he would have been fine. But he doesn't do that. He takes upon himself to make the people feel good. By telling them only 2 years. Now watch what happens to him. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will cast thee from off the face of the earth. God didn't just shut the doctrine up. He shut the source up. Amen. This year thou shalt die, because thou hast taught rebellion against the Lord. So Hananiah the prophet died the same year in the seventh month. How serious is that? So let's read Jeremiah now. The very next chapter, watch what he says. Jeremiah 29 verse 8. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, let not your prophets and your diviners that be in the midst of you deceive you. Neither hearken to your dreams which you caused to be dreamed. For they prophesy falsely unto you in my name. I have not sent them, saith the Lord. That's pretty strong, isn't it? For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word towards you, and in causing you to return to this place. Remember, Daniel, thy people and the city. For I know the thought that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto thee. And you shall seek me and find me, when you shall search for me with all your heart. And I will be found of you, saith the Lord. I will turn away your captivity, and I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord. And I will bring you again into the place whence I caused you to be carried away captive. Remember, redemption is not replacement. Redemption is bringing them right back to where they were before. All right? Now, there's one reason God did that, and that was because the children of Israel rebelled against him. But if you'll remember a long time ago, we were speaking on the Jubilee year, the 50th year, that Israel never celebrated that 50th year. Okay? Because they would have to turn everything loose, and all the land had to lay for so long a period of time. Does everybody remember that? Okay. All right. So let's turn to Leviticus 26. Leviticus 26. And if you'll look in, if you have a Scofield Bible, he even picks up that this is the dispersion predicted. So in Leviticus chapter 26, God predicts what Israel is going to do in that time of B.C. 606 when he comes up to Jeremiah and tells him, but this is what he said, watch. I will destroy your high places and cut down your images and cast your carcass upon the carcass of your idols. And my soul shall abhor you. And I will make your cities waste and bring your sanctuaries into desolation. And I will not smell the savor of your sweet odors. I will bring the land into desolation. And your enemies which dwell therein shall be astonished at it. And I will scatter you among the heathen. Does that remember? That sounds like the same prophecy that he gave Jeremiah. And will draw out a sword after you, and your land shall be desolate, and your cities waste. Now listen to this. Then shall the land enjoy their Sabbath. As long as it lieth desolate, and ye be in your enemy's land, even then shall the land rest and enjoy their jubilee. In spite of everything, God said, you're going to let my land rest.
Right.
I'm going to scatter you all over the world, but you're going to take that jubilee of the land, and I'm going to make it rest, because remember, they weren't in Jerusalem.
Right.
That place was desolate. There was no one there, so the land rested. So watch. Then shall the land enjoy her Sabbaths, as long as it lieth desolate, and ye be in your enemy's land, even then shall the land rest, and enjoy her Sabbaths. Everybody okay with that? Because what is 70 times 7? That's the 490 years. That's the 70 weeks of Daniel. Okay. And enjoy her Sabbaths. As long as it lieth desolate, it shall rest. Because it did not rest in your Sabbath. When ye dwelt therein. You know why they didn't? They didn't do it. They just kept going. And upon them that are left alive of you, I will send a faintness into their hearts in the land of their enemies. And the sound of a shaken leaf shall chase them. Now this is mighty Israel that under King David and Solomon ruled the world. And God tells them, said, even a shaken leaf will chase you. And they shall flee as fleeing from a sword, and they shall fall when none pursueth. And ye shall fall one upon another, as it were before a sword, when none pursueth, and ye shall have no power to stand before your enemies. And ye shall perish among the heathen, and the land of your enemies shall eat you up. And they that are left of you shall pine away in their iniquity in your enemies' land. And also in the iniquity of their fathers shall they pine away with them. That's pretty rough. Now let's go to 2 Chronicles. If you go to 2 Chronicles in your Bible, because remember, the Bible's not wasn't exactly written the way it's put in here. Years are different. Man put these together in their order. It's not in the order of day 6,000 all the way down to now. It's written in different spaces. With the Scofield Bible, if you look right here, Ezra was written in B.C. 536. Chronicles was in B.C. 610. All right, so you keep coming down, but then you go back here a little bit later in Jeremiah. Well, you look, turn over to Job. It's B.C. 1520. You've now went back 1,000 years the other direction. All right, so you got to remember the Bible was put this way, but it's put this way so that you and I can see what's going on. Second Chronicles, watch this. Second Chronicles 36. Zedekiah was 1 and 20 years old when he began to reign and reigned 11 years in Jerusalem. And he did that which is evil in the sight of the Lord his God and humbled not himself before Jeremiah the prophet. So now here we're all back over in Chronicles, but he's talking about what happened over in Jeremiah's time. Because Chronicles is what? Chronicles is a chronological order of what went on. That's why they call it Chronicles. Okay. And they didn't have enough for First Chronicles. They wrote a Second Chronicles. Anyway, make you laugh a little bit. Keep from sleeping. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord his God and humbled not himself before Jeremiah the prophet speaking from the mouth of the Lord. And he also rebelled against King Nebuchadnezzar. Now God sent Nebuchadnezzar down to the land now, but Zedekiah gets in trouble. I'll tell you a little story. Jeremiah tells Zedekiah, if you'll just turn yourself over, you won't die. Because God said, I'll protect you if you'll go with them and go down to the Chaldeans and do this and that and the other. Read it in Jeremiah. Well, Zedekiah took tail and run. And they captured him. And they didn't kill Zedekiah, but they killed his sons right in front of him. And put Zedekiah's eyes out and put him in prison. So, but Jeremiah said, if you'd have listened to me, all you had done was went down there and humbled yourself. I guess Zedekiah maybe had a problem with not being humble. So, and he also rebelled against King Nebuchadnezzar, who had made him swear by God, but he stiffened his neck and hardened his heart from turning unto the Lord God of Israel. Moreover, all the chief of the priests and the people transgressed very much after all the abominations of the heathen and polluted the house of the Lord, which he had hallowed in Jerusalem. And the Lord God of their fathers sent to them by messengers, rising up betimes and sending because he had compassion on his people. I just read you that in Jeremiah. He sent them prophet after prophet after prophet after prophet. And they didn't listen to any of them. Because what? But they mocked the messengers of God and despised his word and misused his prophets until the wrath of the Lord arose against the people till there was no remedy. Therefore he brought upon them the king of the Chaldeans, who slew their young men with the sword in the house of their sanctuary, had no compassion upon young men nor maiden, old man or him that stooped for age, he gave them all into his hand. And all the vessels of the house of God, great and small, and the treasures of the house of the Lord, and the treasures of the king and all his princes, all these he brought to Babylon. Doesn't that sound familiar? Isn't that what Titus did, the same thing? That's kind of strange, though. They brought it all back in to after the dispersal to the 70 weeks of that, or the 70 years. They put it all back together, and then here, because they turned the Messiah down, God sent out Titus in AD 70 and destroyed it again and took all the stuff that they'd got back together and sent it back out again. But we know who's got it this time. We know Rome's got it this time. Because Titus was a Roman general. And they burnt the house of God and break down the wall of Jerusalem. Remember, Daniel 9:24. The walls and the streets were built in troublous times. So they had to tear the wall down. Where am I at? Break down the wall of Jerusalem and burnt all the palaces thereof with fire and destroyed all the goodly vessels thereon. And them that had escaped from the sword carried he away to Babylon, where they were servants to him and his sons until the reign of the kingdom of Persia. Now that's what we're going to talk about. Cyrus was a king of Persia. He's the first one to give him an edict, and we'll read that later on, to Ezra and Nehemiah to rebuild the temple, to rebuild all the things after the 70 years. To fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah until the land had enjoyed her Sabbath. God said that twice in scripture. He meant for that land to rest. For as long as she lay desolate, she kept Sabbaths to fulfill 70 years. Now what's 70? 70 is 3 times what? 2. 3 times 2 is 60. and 10 is 70. That's your 70 years. Three score and 10 years. So make that 70 years. Now, that give you the background of why they went into that 70 years of captivity. But I want to ask you a question. We won't be very long today. I've just got a couple more scriptures. Is that Jeremiah in BC 606 prophesied, the prophet of God says, because of their sin and ungodliness that they would be in captivity for 70 years. Now, we know for a fact that 70 years came and went. That was done a long time ago. But what happened was God had a purpose or an underlying meaning to not be just 70 years, but he said 70 weeks of Daniel. So it would be, we go back to the scripture that says 70 weeks are determined. 70 weeks are determined. All right. They were in captivity 68 years, and then he told Daniel what was going to happen. But Brother Brown said he didn't just tell Daniel what was going to go on in 2 years. He told him all the way to the millennium. All right, so now that's why we have to back up. We know the 70 years are already finished. That 70 years of captivity came out in about 536 B.C. They came out of captivity. What? They built everything back according to what Daniel 70 weeks said. They built the walls, and we'll cover that in just a little while. So don't get so hung up that, well, that 70 years is already finished. It is. But what happens is you got to come back and watch what Brother Brown said about the 70 weeks of Daniel. All right, so listen to me just for a second. Shake yourself. You say, well, how did Brother Brown get all this? You know, he says 1 week equals 7 years, because you look at 70 weeks of Daniel. What's a week? A week's 7 days. Okay? Well, that would just be if it was 70 weeks times 7, that'd just be 490 days. Well, you can't count at that. Everybody okay with that? You can't count. It's ain't 490 days. Everybody got that? It's already done. That whole 70 years is already accomplished. Cyrus came in, give them the edict, told them to rebuild, told them to do all these things. And that's done and over with. But Brother Brown said, told us that 1 week equals 7 years. Everybody all right with that? And do you know where he got that from? He had to get it from the Bible. He didn't get it from history. So let's turn to Genesis 29, verse 16. Now here we have a story of two con men, Laban and Jacob. One trying to con the other, but watch this, what's coming out of this. And Laban had two daughters. The name of the elder was Leah. Now remember, in your type, Leah was the older, so she types Israel. And the name of the younger was Rachel, which types us, the Gentile. Leah was tender-eyed, but Rachel was beautiful and well-favored. And Jacob loved Rachel and said, I will serve thee 7 years for Rachel, thy younger daughter. Guys, 7 years for one woman. Not 7 days. 7 years. Hey, Brother John, 7 years. Little John just walked in right on cue. Brother John Jr., 7 years you got to wait for your girlfriend. I mean, a wife. You got to have a girlfriend for 7 years. But no, Jacob loved Rachel and told Laban, said, I'll serve you 7 years for Rachel, thy younger daughter. And Laban said, it is better that I give her to thee than that I should give her to another. Abide with me. And Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed unto him, look at me, but a few days. For the love he had for her. All right, so he served 7 years to get Rachel. You say, well, where are we going here? Let's go to Genesis 29, 27, same chapter. Now, he said 7 years, right? He said, I'll serve you 7 years for Rachel. Now, here, this is, let me just turn to read all that. Let me get it right here myself. Genesis, because I've always kept it in my Bible right here. Watch. Genesis 29, if I can get out of Leviticus. Because Brother Brown couldn't just come up with 1 week equals 7 years and just say, well, that's just the way it is, folks. No, that's not the way Brother Branham worked. Watch this. I can't find it in Exodus either. My Bible's about to fall apart. Genesis 29. I've read it so much. Look, right there's where it breaks. And Jacob said, did so. Now watch. Laban said unto her, verse 26, I don't have, it must be not so done in our country to give the younger before the firstborn, because what he done was, he conned him and give him Leah. It must have been dark that night or something. I don't know, but I don't see how in the world he worked 7 years and had Rachel's picture up on his dashboard of his car for 7 years. And all the Christmas cards and all the Valentine's cards, and there her picture was, and then he winds up getting Leah. But anyway, so Laban is just, he's just a con man. Fulfill her week, and we will give thee this after the service which thou shalt serve with me yet 7 other years. And Jacob did so and fulfilled her week. That wasn't 7 days. That was 7 years. I believe when Brother Branham was preaching Daniel 70 weeks, I believe if he had not read this before, that the angel of the Lord took him right back to that scripture right there. And he said, there's your key. 1 week equals 7 years. All right. And Jacob did so and fulfilled her week, and he gave him Rachel, his daughter, to wife also. So fulfill her week. So 1 week equals what? 7 years. That's the basic of the whole part of Daniel 70 weeks, is you got to realize it's not 70, it's not 7 day week. It's 1 week equals 7 years. Now, to help you understand that, what was it Peter said? Jesus, how many times am I supposed to forgive my brethren? 7 times? He said, no, let's try 70 times 7, the exact amount of time that he's going to restore Israel with, right. 490 years. Right. So when we get into the charts and all these things that we're going to look at, we still got a little ways to go, because I do want to read some quotes to back up the scripture here and use the dates. But those timelines, remember, 1 week equals 7 years. All right, is everybody okay with that? So now let's go back one time and go back to Daniel 9. Let's read this and then we'll get ready for communion. Only been 1 hour and 10 minutes. So we good. Daniel 9. Let's go start with 24. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people. So that would be 70 weeks of 7 years. 70 times 7 is how much? Thank you. Thank you, brother. For those of you that just woke up, 490 years. Right. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city. Now, how many times did we look back in Jeremiah? How many times did he talk about land? Land, 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 buildings, desolate, temples, burned down. I'm going to destroy. In other words, I'm going to level this place, but I'm going to build it back. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people. Now, who's he talking to? Daniel. Daniel is a Jew. That's why I said the 70 weeks of Daniel is to the Jews. But we have to cover it because we are in the middle of that part where it got separated and the wild olive branch got grafted in, which is me and you. All right. We'll read all that. I just wanted you to get a basis of why are we even talking about 70 weeks of Daniel? Why do we? Because it talks about the redemption of Israel. It's Israel coming from whoredom and God having to put her away, but he's not going to bring her back under the 144,000. That's not bride. Israel will never be his bride again, ever. They will be filled with the Holy Ghost, but they will not be the bride of Jesus Christ. Everybody got that? They lost that. God can't go up against his scripture. If he went back and married Israel, he'd be breaking his own word. Amen? Because it says you, if you're defiled, you can't go back. You can't take her back. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to do six things. Finish the transgression, make an end of sins, make reconciliation for iniquity, bring in everlasting righteousness, seal up the vision and prophecy and anoint the most holy. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and build Jerusalem, that's where Cyrus is going to come in. The king of Persia is going to come in and give them. You know, what happened was they were in captivity. They didn't want the people to go back. Even the people around, that's why, watch. It says right here, to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks. All right, now 7 weeks, that would be 7 times 7. That would be 49 years. Everybody got that? Say amen. Right. 49 years. And 62 weeks. What's 62? 3 times 2 is 6. 62 weeks. Everybody okay with that? Because 62 and 7 is what? Thank you, Brother Larry. God bless you. You've stayed awake the whole time. 69, but we got to fulfill 70 weeks.
Right.
70 weeks are determined. There is 69 right there. And the street shall be built in the wall, even in troublous times. And we're going to get to that, because remember, the Bible said they had a sword in one hand and a trowel in the other hand. Why? Listen, them nations around Israel were not stupid. They knew Israel was so weak until they got back in their homeland. That's the problem. The whole nations were going, we're not going to let them build that city back. God will come and fight for them then. We got to keep that thing. So they would send armies and they'd have to turn and fight while they were trialing the wall. Ambidextrous. But that's what happened. The nations knew if Israel got their stuff back together. That's why Israel is trying to get their stuff back together now. If they can get everything back together, they know the Messiah is going to have to come. They just don't know that he's already come and got us, but he's going to go through two witnesses to them. But we'll cover all that. This is going to be a pretty long process. So if it took a year and a half with the seven seals, Brother Donnie, we'll maybe take another year. If we're still here. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and build Jerusalem to the Messiah shall be 7 weeks, 49 years. And 62 weeks, 62 makes 69. After 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off. So the Messiah comes on the scene after that 62nd week, which would make 69 total. Everybody got that? Okay. But not for himself. Why was he cut off? He was cut off for us. He died for us. Isaiah 53. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. That was Titus in AD 70. The end, therefore, shall be with a flood. Remember, they opened the gates and they said literally blood flowed out of the streets almost up to the bridle of the horse. Now, that's pretty deep.
Yep, right.
And unto the end of the war, desolations are determined. And he shall confirm, because remember, we got 1 week left.
Right.
If it's 70 weeks,
amen,
we've already accomplished 62 and 7. That makes 69. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and oblation to cease, and for the overspreading of abomination, he shall make it desolate, even unto the consummation, and that determined shall be poured out upon the desolate.
Right.
So once we get started, we'll try to get all this together, but I just wanted you to see why. Let's stand to our feet. I just wanted you to see why the history. That it's not just God just said, okay, Brother Brown, preach on 70 weeks of Daniel because you need to. No, it was part of the Bible already.
Amen.
It was part of Scripture already. And Brother Brown didn't have a lot of time to spend time with Jeremiah, but he all told us many times, he said, here Daniel was 2 years getting ready to go out of captivity. And he looked back to Jeremiah and said, Jeremiah, all this stuff is fixing to happen. You were writing all this, and he's saying, God, what are we going to do? We got 2 more years. Where are we going? Well, God tells him. But in God telling him about all the kingdoms, remember the 5 kingdoms coming up, the gold, the brass, and all those different things, he told him all the way to past us, all the way to the consummation, down to where we come back in the millennium in a Eden-like condition. Now, it's not the future home. Now, remember, that's not the future home. When we end the 70 weeks of Daniel, that begins the millennium, which will be the Jews' Jubilee that they've never celebrated before. Amen? So God bless you. Let's just bow our heads and pray before we take communion. I just wanted to, you know, that's just as boring as it is. It's not something maybe so exciting, but it excites me that God can restore a people that does that right there to Him. Amen. What about grace, folks? Think about grace in your life, the things you did that God says, I don't see that anymore.
Glory.
I have restored you back. I did. You did what? You did what? What sins you talking about?
Right.
Amen? That's true justification. Let's bow our heads. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for this day. As we come forth now to settle down for a moment and take this communion, Father, we pray that you'd just take the words that we've said and let them sink into our hearts, Lord. Let us see the foundation of what Brother Branham was talking about in those three services of the 70 weeks of Daniel, not to just be a history lesson, but Lord, to let it be a lesson of all of our lives, that the many things that we have done against you, Lord, that if we bow our heads and ask for forgiveness, that you, the Bible says you are just to forgive us. And not just forgive us, but forget that it even happened. Father, we pray that you'd just be with us now in the furtherment of this service. Bless your people, heal the sick, the ones, Lord, that need salvation, the one that needs, Lord, strength in their body. We pray that you would just touch them right now, Lord. We pray that you'd be with the ones that are not here. Brother Joe and them going to be off a couple of days traveling, Lord, that you'll touch them. Be with Brother Matthew as he comes in this week. And bless him, Lord, and take care of him and his journey and bring us something from you, Lord. We pray that you just be with us, Lord, in this endeavor that we're starting to do for the young adults, Lord. We pray that you would sanctify us all for this journey, Lord. I believe, Lord, if I may say, this is that last push that we're coming to that's going to bring a group of people together for rapture and faith. Father, we pray that you'd bless us now and take care of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Love them.
You know what I was thinking about while he was bringing those dates and the things and how perfect. You know, we have history books writing of a history of a nation. You know, and you'll have things like that. But what about Israel has God writing their history?
Right, exactly.
Some before it even takes place. God writing their history in a history book and hands it to them. Then come find out we're the one in the book. We're the whole thing. We're what the book was about. Amen and amen. Let's just go right into our scriptures. Take the communion then. Going to verse 23. For I have received of the Lord, which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And after the same manner also he took the cup, when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do shew the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. I thank God for that, don't you? Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home. Then you come not together unto condemnation. The rest will I set in order when I come. So let's just have a moment of silent prayer, praying one for the other, and remember each and every one of us. Father, we thank you for the word that we've heard today, and we pray that you would just let it dwell within our hearts, that we would find ourselves in thy word. And Lord, that thereby we could walk in you. We ask you to guide us, be with each and every one. And Lord, remember the sick among us, reach down and touch each one. And Father, then forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness and help us to walk in you. We love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. The Bible said he took bread and blessed it. Father, we thank you for this bread that's been made for this purpose today. We pray that you would just remember that we're just human mortals and try to understand us and, Lord, put up with our ways and our thoughts as human beings. But help us to follow after you and what you'd have to say and to guide each and every one of us. Guide us and bless. Bless the food, sanctify it to our bodies and us in your grace. It represents, Lord, we know your body which is shed for each one. What a wonderful opportunity to know how it does represent in your purity in Jesus' name. We read them. What happened back there, see and understand that all of that was speaking for you and I.
That's right.
So what an opportunity to be able to think about that they used to do this, things that represented these certain things, and then when we come down, we can find out what it really means.
Right.
So then that's what we're to do in all of our studies of the Word and what we are to walk in your love and understanding, Lord, so help us. Father, we thank you for this wine. It's gone through the purpose of preserving and come to the spot that it can represent your blood. We love you and we thank you. We ask you to sanctify this wine to each partaker. May we all be together as one in you. And as we take a little piece of bread, we drink the wine, may we, as Lord, it's things in our body that shows that the cells created, may it show to each and every one of us who we are, what we're doing here. We love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Come morning, I'll walk by the river.